Before we begin the sermon, I want to ask you what you are most excited about in this upcoming year. Anyone have an answer? And online, you think about that. What? You think so? Over Alabama? When was the last time they beat Alabama? I don't want to set y'all up for disappointment. That's all I'm saying. I know who I'm voting for. I just don't know how likely it is that they could possibly beat Alabama. Anyone with a more realistic hope for this upcoming year? I'm doing it because Jeremy's sitting right there and he's a huge dog fan. Anyone else with something they're really looking forward to this year? End of the pandemic. You're as hopeful as a UGA fan. I hope that you do have things you're looking forward to. Yes, ma'am. All right. Anyone else have something that they're really anticipating? All right. Well, I really do hope that you have something that you're just not willing to share that you're looking forward to, because otherwise, y'all, your year is looking pretty bleak. Our scripture this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 21, and I'll read the first six verses. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We don't know when God will create the new heaven and new earth, or when God will be done with that creation, but we know that God will, because the Bible says it, and the Bible is always true. But I got to tell you, I kind of like the current world. Don't you? I kind of like this world that we are living in. I kind of enjoy the experiences. When God made this world, he declared it good. This is a good world that we are inhabiting, and we have good experiences in this world. Now, we have corrupted this world through sin, and there's no doubt about that. Our sin has spoiled something of this world, and the Bible says that all of creation is groaning in anticipation of its redemption. So even the world knows that it is going to be remade. We are serving a God who is in the renewal business. God renews things. God takes things that are broken and he repairs them. God takes souls that are damned and he saves them. He takes lives that are sick and he heals them. He takes lives that are off track and he restores them and transforms them. God is in the transformation business. In fact, elsewhere in the Bible, we read this. In Romans chapter 12, Paul is writing, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Don't conform anymore to the pattern of this world, the pattern that originally was good when God made it, but we spoiled it with our sin. To conform is to take the shape of, to be similar to. So we no longer conform or are similar to this sinful world, but we are transformed by the God who makes all things new. It's a great day for us to talk about that because we see this year stretching out before us, and we don't know yet what this world, what this year, what our lives will be like, but we recognize there's something about this transitional time between the old year and the new year where we start to take stock of our lives. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." So at the close of one year, at the opening of another year, I think it's only fitting that we do examine our lives. Who are we? Where are we going? And do we like who we are becoming and the trajectory of our life? And if there's anything that we are that we don't want to be, if there's anywhere that our life is going that we don't want to end up, we can make corrections now, and sometimes it's just the smallest of corrections that will lead to some major transformations. Do not conform any longer, but be transformed. I think this is an invitation of grace. Now, I'm not advocating that we simply make some New Year's resolutions. Resolutions are too humanistic for me. They're, let's pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and I'm going to change me. You know what I say to that? Bunk. You are not going to change you. How many times have you tried to change you and 2 days, 2 months into that quest for personal change, you've completely failed? I'm going to lose the 10 pounds I gained over COVID, and guess what? You gained 10 more. I'm going to spend more time reading and less time watching TV, and you turn into a couch potato. It's not about us humanistically determining where we want to go and who we want to become. It's about us sitting in the presence of God who makes all things new. Sitting in the presence of a God who tells us, don't conform to the shape that you knew, that you're comfortable with, that you are presently, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by grace, not by your own self-effort, but by God who works in you. So I think there is great value at us taking stock of our lives today in anticipation of who we are going to become and where we will go tomorrow. I do this every year, the last week of the year. I take my old calendar, and I did it again this year. I took 2021, and I go from January, and I turn each page on my desk calendar. And because I keep both a digital and a desk calendar, I do the same on my Mac, and I'm reading it on my Mac and iCalendar, and I'm looking, and I'm assessing where I've been, what I've done. I look at some of the prayers I've prayed that God has answered throughout the 12 months, and I look at some of the prayers that I've prayed that either weren't answered in the way I wanted them to be answered or have yet to be answered. I look at the ways on the calendar that God has used me. The baptism on that Sunday, the wedding on that Saturday, the funeral that family allowed me the privilege of doing for their loved one. And I look over the month of activities, over the 12 months of activities, and I rejoice in the ways that God used me. And then I also remember some of the blemishes of 2021, some of the missteps, and some of the things that God called me to that I simply didn't do or did something completely different. And in assessing my 2021, I have to be brutally honest with myself to see where I have conformed so that I can get an accurate picture of who I am and what God wants me to be. And I also celebrate the ways that God used me. I'll share one with you, and this might sound a little bit strange, but one of the highlights of 2021 was my dad's funeral. And that sounds really strange that going up to Canada and getting to preach my father's funeral was one of the most joyous events of the year, but it was. And it was for so many different reasons. I've been praying for my father to be released, because release was the only means by which he would be transformed. His life was no more on this earth. He had gotten into almost a vegetative state. And as a man of faith, I know what was on the other side for him. So I was eager for him to get out of the broken shell, out of the mind that could no longer communicate, and to step into that glorious resurrection that Christ was calling him to. But there's another reason why my father's funeral was such a high point for me. I worked with Dad for 7 years at Reimer Express Lines. When I was in high school, I got a job, and it paid really well. And I was working shoulder to shoulder with Dad, loading and unloading trucks. And then through college, 3 of my 4 years, I was back at Reimer Express Lines working, and they paid really well. And I made enough loading and unloading trucks in 3 months of the summer to pay for private college. Room and board and books and tuition, all of it was done in 3 months. It was a phenomenal job that I had. But I got to work shoulder to shoulder with my father, and I also got to work shoulder to shoulder with a lot of my father's co-workers and friends. And they heard me because, trust me, loading trucks does not take a lot of brain power. So there's a lot of time when you're in the truck with someone else and you're loading and unloading and you're talking. And these guys, they knew my heart. They knew that I was a follower of Jesus. And I got to share the gospel with them. But I never got to preach a sermon to them other than with my life, with my actions. Until 5 or 6 of them showed up to my dad's funeral. And these are guys that I worked with. These are guys that I know what they talked about. And I'm not going to mention it here in this holy place, but you know what they talked about. And I got to share the good news of God's love with these guys. And 2 of them I already know were believers, and 4 I'm not so certain of, although I am certain of, if you know what I mean. And I got to present to them the fact that God loved my father. And though my father was a sinner, God pursued my father. And my father, at the right time, turned around and experienced the embrace of his Creator and his Savior. And it changed his life from that point on. And most importantly, it changed his future, not just for the next 30 or 40 or 50 years. It changed his eternity. And I got to share that with these men sitting there listening. Because of the draconian COVID laws in Canada, we weren't allowed to do the fellowship afterwards at my mom's house because you're not allowed to gather in groups larger than 10. So we had to rent the facility down in the basement, and we had, I guess, 70 or 80 of us, 90, I don't know how many, I just don't know how many were down there, but we all gathered in the basement of the funeral home, and we had this meal prepared, and I got to sit around and talk to some of these guys, and you know what? They actually thanked me for the clear presentation of God's love and how I wove that story through my father's story. And I don't know what God will do with those seeds that have been sown, but I'm praying that God will bring that message to fruition in their hearts and lives. So as I look back over 2021, yes, I see the faults and the mistakes and the missteps, but I also see where God did, in fact, use me. And I think, well, the examined life, is a life worth living? So as I examine my life, I want to offer it back to God for more of those experiences where God uses me, whether it's a baptism, a funeral, a wedding, an act of ministry, whatever it is. I want to be God's in this new year, and I want God to get a hold of me and make me new. And those areas of me that are broken, I want our renewing God to fix me. And those areas of my life that are completely riddled with malady, I want God to heal me. And where I'm misstepping, I want God to guide me. And I believe that this is the occasion for that. And to that end, I came up with 4 things. There are a host of things that we can do, but these are 4 small changes that we can make that will bring, I believe, massive repercussions in this upcoming year. 4 small calendar additions that will bring major fruit to our lives. The first one is simply this: pray. Pray daily and not, dear Lord, thank you for this food that we're about to receive. Make us grateful and bless it to our nourishment of our bodies. Amen. No, there's nothing wrong with that prayer. We ought to be grateful for the food that we consume. But pray. Prayer is nothing more than conversing with God. So why wouldn't we want to converse with the God who can and does make all things new? So on this day, this morning when I woke up, it's a new day in a new year, and I didn't hit my knees and pray for 4 hours. But this morning, my prayer was something along these lines: Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am giving this day to you, God, as an act of worship. Transform me, fill me, and use me for your glory. May I point to the Son of God on the cross who died for the sins of the world. May I point to your love for all of us. May I point out you who make all things new. That was my simple prayer, something along those lines. Because, of course, I knew what I was going to preach on. What did that do for this day? I believe it gave me a solid foundation under my feet. I believe that it gave me a light for my path. I believe it gave me a sense of direction. And now I can live this day as a gift back to the God who can make me new on this day and empower me not to conform to the pattern of 2021, but to be transformed by a renewing of my mind into the person he wants me to be in 2022. Simple thing. A very simple prayer of dedication in the morning can completely change our day. John Bunyan wrote this: when you run from God in the morning, you will scarcely catch up to him for the rest of the day. Folks, that's brilliant. When you run from God in the morning, good luck catching up with them the rest of the day, because you've already established your priority. Your priority is you. But when you begin the day with prayer, when you converse with God and give God this day, every day, then you know God is with you, guiding and empowering you. The second thing is to spend time listening to God. Now, we do that in prayer, and we also intentionally do that through God's Word. God's Word is God's message to us. It does indeed light our path. It is indeed the sure foundation under our feet. When everything around us is crumbling and falling apart, the Word of God is the rock on which we stand. When everything around us is darkness, the Word of God is a light that illumines the path that God wants us to walk on. God's Word is a mirror that shows us who we really are. I read a story not too long ago about a missionary who was priming the pump, if you will, and sending care packages to the villages that he was going to go and preach the gospel to. So he was boxing up these trinkets and these little things and sending it out to each village so that the village would anticipate the giver of the gift who showed up. Showed up to one village, and there was a woman in the village. She was one of the princesses in the village, one of the king's daughters. And she was always told that she was the most beautiful woman in the village, and she believed it. But in this box that the missionary sent forward ahead of his visit was a mirror. And the woman took the mirror into her hut and looked at herself. And in looking at herself in the mirror, she took the mirror and she smashed it. Why? Because the mirror told her the truth when no one else would. She knew that she was not, at that moment, the most beautiful woman in the village, as everyone had told her that she was. She knew that she was, in fact, a very plain-looking woman, and she resented the truth that was staring at her in the face. And folks, unfortunately, I think that's the way God's Word acts in a lot of our lives. We read it, and we see ourselves for who we are. We close it, and we're done. The Word of God speaks boldly that we are broken. That while God made us in His image and likeness, and while God declared human beings very good, we spoiled God's image through our sin. And while God loved us and longed for us, we ran from God. That's what we get when we read God's Word. For all have sinned, Paul tells us, and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul also says, the wages of sin, what you get for your sin, is death. And we read that and we don't want it. The problem is we didn't read enough. We didn't read the next part of what Paul said. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but, Paul writes, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we sin, and yes, we run from God, and we read it in the Bible, but we stop reading too soon. What we also read is that we have a God who runs after us. And the God who runs after us and pursues us, His arms are stretched open, not to capture us in anger, but to embrace us in love and grace. We need the truth of God's Word to reveal how we are broken so that we can continue to dig into the truth of God's Word for how we are made whole and taken from damned to saved, from sinner to saint. God's Word does all of that and more for us. So I pray this year that we will spend time in God's Word, saturating our mind and our soul in God's Word. I think, unfortunately, we don't saturate, we don't soak, we just dip. There's a huge difference between dipping and saturating. I'm a tea drinker. I don't like coffee. I love the smell of coffee. I cannot stand the taste of coffee. So I drink hot tea. And there's a proper way to brew hot tea. You brew tea depending on what type of tea you're brewing. If it's white tea or green tea or black tea, you vary the temperature that you put the tea bag in. If you're brewing black tea, which is my favorite tea, you put the tea bag in and you don't pull it out right away. Guess what happens if you put the tea bag in and pull it out? You're drinking hot water. That's all you're drinking. And unfortunately, I think that's about as much as we allow God's Word to season us. You got to put that tea bag in and you got to steep it for between 3 and 5 minutes. Any more, now this is where it breaks down. The analogy will always break down. You get tannins released in the tea and you get off flavors. You don't want that. You cannot soak in God's Word too long. But you can soak in God's Word too little so that it doesn't have the same kind of effect on you that God wants it to have. So open God's Word daily. Let it refresh your soul. Let it fill your mind. And let it empower your life. Third is I want to ensure that I am giving to God. I want to ensure that the way that I live with material blessings reflects my spiritual priorities. And I know, now I'm meddling, right, because I'm talking about money. But I'm not talking about money because y'all are doing such a poor job of supporting the ministry of the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. In my 9 years as pastor of this church, when we felt that God was calling us to do something, you have always provided the resources for us to be successful in everything God has called us to do. So it's not about us not doing enough. It's about proper stewardship. We've just gone through a season where we bless our children, we bless ourselves, and we bless our family and those close to us. And that's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But part of what it means to be a steward of the blessings that God gives is the recognition that we hold these blessings in such a way so that God can use them to bless others. And I want to make sure that 2022 is a year that I don't just accumulate more and more and more for me and for mine, but that I look at what God brings into my life as a means of reflecting His glory and His blessing to others. And the fourth and final way that I'm going to make incremental changes in my life that I believe will have massive differences in my future is the way I spend time in fellowship with others. I think Jesus gave us a brilliant example. Jesus was accused of spending time with sinners and tax collectors and eating with such folks, and absolutely he did. But if you notice the tenor of the conversation, every time Jesus was around a sinner, a tax collector, an outsider, he was having an influence transforming them. And never do you read that they were having an influence conforming him to their standard. You see the difference? Jesus, when he was with those who were outside, those who were far from, he was using his influence to transform them and to pull them into a relationship with himself, a relationship with God. But where did Jesus spend most of his time? With whom did Jesus fellowship most? With the people who were like-hearted and like-minded. He lived and breathed and did life with his disciples, with his followers. That's the example I think we ought to take to ourselves. When we are with those who are outside of what God wants for them, we want to be intentional about having an influence on them, on bringing the light and love of Christ into those relationships. And then we spend most of our time with one another. My mom used to say something along these lines: be careful who you spend time with, because you become who you spend time with. Your mom probably said something similar. Your mom probably said it like this, another proverbial saying: a bad apple spoils the bunch. That's just a negative way of saying the same thing. Be careful who you spend time with, because you become who you spend time with. A bad apple spoils the bunch. If you're spending time with a bunch of bad apples, guess what? Their fruit flies are your fruit flies. You put a rotten potato in a sack of potato, guess what? Before too long, you don't have a sack of good potatoes with one bad one. You have unusable potatoes. I want to be very intentional about who I spend time with, because my goal is not to conform to who I was and who they are. My goal is to be transformed into who God wants me to be and who God wants others to be. And I want to spend time with people who are like-minded and like-hearted, who are longing for God to transform them. So folks, these are four very simple things that we can do that will have massive ramifications on the new year. And allow God, open our lives so that God is permitted to make all things new in us. Prayer, Bible reading, stewardship, and time in Christian fellowship. There are other things that we can do, but these are four godly steps that we can make to ensure that this upcoming year that God has given to us is a year where God transforms us and makes us new. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this wonderful invitation in Scripture that you are a God of renewing power and you make all things new. And thank you, Lord, that as we assess our 2021, we recognize not only our mistakes, but much more importantly, your grace and your guidance, and your transforming power. The fact that you used us repeatedly in different ways. And we ask, Lord, that in this upcoming year, you would use us even more. That each and every day we give over to you, that we become pliable in your hands, like a potter sitting at the pottery wheel. That you would mold us and shape us, fill us, and then use us for your glory. So that through us, your transforming power might go into this world, and through our ministry, through our witness, others may come to experience Christ themselves. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.